Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Alejandro Bachmann, who is a curator and head of education at the Austrian Film Museum. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this small conversation.
Would you be able to kind of tell listeners who may not be familiar with the Austrian Film Museum what it is?
The Austrian Film Museum is a museum for film, which many people would consider to be a place you walk into and then look at old posters, scripts, editing tables, cameras, and so on. But the film museum is not like that at all. It's a cinematheque. It's basically just a cinema. Attached to that cinema, of course, is quite a large archive with about 27,000 films. So we have a huge collection of analog films. We have a collection of film posters, a collection of film magazines, a very large library. But the basic idea or the core of the institution is a cinema that runs all year long with a small break in summer. And it shows retrospectives dedicated to directors, retrospectives that focus on a certain time within cinema history, on a certain motif, and it shows films basically from the whole history of cinema, and we also try to incorporate or include contemporary cinema. So yeah, it's really meant to be a place where you can go if you have an urgent need for a complex understanding of cinema. And you,
the Austrian Film Museum has got a great reputation. But what you said, of course, leads me to my second question. What does your work as a curator entail?
It's kind of divided into two parts, I would say. One part is I'm, as you already said, head of education. So we have quite a number of educational activities which we offer throughout the year. We have about 6,000 to 7,000 children coming each year to our educational activities. Those can be film screenings with discussions afterwards. These can be close analysis of films. These can be conversations with filmmakers. These can be 16mm film workshops where we actually try to film with a 16mm camera.
Wow.
And then kind of do a structural list things with the film, so scratch it, hurt it, and see what it does in projection. That's one part, and the other part is I curate part of the evening programs, mostly the in-person series, which is dedicated to not contemporary, but contemporary and historical, experimental and avant-garde film. And the idea is to show mostly work of one person for two or three nights and have the director with us for discussions and so on. And so this is basically...
What would have been an example of an event that you held recently in the museum?
But the last event I've held at the Film Museum was actually a retrospective dedicated to the work of Paul Verhoeven, who's not an experimental or avant-garde filmmaker, so that was kind of an extra that I always had wanted to do and was happily to convince the Film Museum to actually make it happen. Before that, actually, we had Kevin B. Lee as a guest, whom you might know. He's not an experimental filmmaker in that sense. He makes video essays, so they are basically an approach of trying to use the possibilities of digital media to actually analyze films, talk about films, to talk about film history and its aesthetics. But he has been doing it for so long, and he's one of the most prominent figures in that field, that over the years his films have, at least in our eyes, we thought they have some sort of auteurist quality. So suddenly you see that there's someone who's not just a researcher, not just a film critic, but someone who has some sort of artistic ambition and an urge to express something that might rather be called poetic than just analytic in a classical sense. The next one we will be doing will actually be on Helga Reidemeister, a German documentary filmmaker who started making films in the early 70s. and who has always made very personal documentary films that would fall through classical categories of documentary ethics, because she's very involved in the films. She talks to the people, asks them questions, provokes the people she films, and so on. So this is a program we will be doing. And in November, we will be doing a program which is entitled The Last Machine, which goes back to a quote by Hollis Frampton, who said that cinema is the last machine, the last analog machine, so to say. And we will be presenting three analog organizations in Europe. That is L'Abominable in Paris, Labor Berlin in Berlin, and the Friedel-Kubelka School in Vienna, because those are three places that, despite the dominance of digital filmmaking, still try to allow people to make analog films, supply them with the materials they need, the machineries they need. And so we try to, through this program, we kind of want to represent that analog is still alive and kicking, and there's a lot of beautiful and provocative work still coming from that realm.
Head of education, let's talk about that a little bit more. We're talking what kind of ages? Is it all ages, pretty much?
Yeah, it's pretty much all ages. So the courses for the youngest children we offer are for 5-year-olds, and then we go up to 18, 19, so until they basically have their matura, which is kind of their high school degree, and then I also teach at university. So our educational activities, we try to really be in contact with all sorts of educational institutions, and provide them with a knowledge that most of them do not have.
So you have sort of also, I guess, one of the aims of this, of working with children, especially this young age, would be like audience development.
Yes, I mean, this is what, if you wanted to use a modern marketing sort of phrase, I guess people would call it audience development. Yeah. I would rather call it some sort of aesthetic education, because I believe that if you start early in presenting young people to things that are not part of the mainstream and that develop different kind of aesthetics and thus different kind of thinking about the world, that you can really achieve something in them. They, especially when they are really young, you can. I mean, we very often show avant-garde and experimental cinema to 6 or 7 or 8-year-old children, because yeah. they are not yet full of these ideas what a film should look like, what is cool and what is not, and you know, so, and they are very open-minded, and you can show them Stan Brakhage films, you can show them Peter Kubelka films, you can show them Bruce Conner films, and they will truly appreciate it, and the stuff they say about it is often more thoughtful and more intelligent than what most adult curators or film critics could ever come up with.
I agree with that, yeah, it's true.
So basically the idea is to give them a possibility, some sort of ideal space to get in contact with forms and aesthetic forms that are hard to come into contact with if you don't have a cinema that would show them in an analog projection and stuff like that. So that is the one side, and the other side is to just give them, to sort of give them an idea what we mean when we say cinema, because cinema is more than its commercial part. It is also its commercial part, and we do include commercial films into our educational activities, because it would, I think, be a mistake not to do that, because cinema is, to a large part, a commercial undertaking. But we really try to give them a very broad understanding of cinema. So we would teach them narrative film, documentary film, experimental film, industrial films, amateur films, educational films. So we basically try to give them an understanding that any idea of the 20th century is in one way or another connected to cinema, because cinema is everywhere. As soon as cinema was invented in 1895, it spread to all areas of life, and so we often try to give them an idea how important that actually is, because if they grow up nowadays, for them it's all very natural. Moving images are everywhere. But it's kind of important, I think, to give them an understanding, like, what does that actually mean if moving images are everywhere? Because it means that moving images are used in science. It means that moving images are used for entertainment. It means that moving images are sometimes used for theater and other arts, and so on. So it's also about giving them a very broad understanding of cinema.
And the incredible impact that it has had since its beginning. But from what you said earlier, I also gather that it's more than just a viewing experience. It's also a very hands-on course, you know, making their own films and kind of playing around with film itself. What are kind of the benefits of doing that?
I mean, the benefits of doing that is because it gets them involved in a very strong way that is, especially if you compare to how teaching children classically works, you know. So you have one person basically standing in front telling them what they have to think, and then they just have to repeat that, and we call that education nowadays. So basically, working with art, I think, is a different approach, because it's not about me or anybody who teaches children cinema telling them what we know. It's more about trying to provoke them to find a sort of language to articulate what they feel, what they think, what provokes them when they see a film. And then the next step is also, of course, kind of provoke them to make things themselves. Yeah. But also here I would say it's very modern at the moment to say the only true education is if children start producing themselves. And this is also something that I am a little skeptical of. I think it is a great way of learning things, but I also think that it is a great way of learning things to just lean back and basically let the film work on you. So I'm also trying to basically, because nowadays children are taught to be very active, you know, so they have to be active in everything. They have to be active on Facebook, they have to be active in school, they have to be active with their friends, they have to be active in their family. And I think that passivity, to be passive, is also something that is quite beautiful. So I often try to make them understand in cinema it is also about leaning back and let the film work for you and see what it does to you. Yeah. So, and experimental film is especially powerful in this sense, because it will do something to you even if you are not active, even if you just lean back and let the images flicker.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever they do, it will do something to you. So, yeah, I'm trying to make them understand that sitting in a cinema is an educational experience in itself, you know? Yeah. Education doesn't start when you start analyzing a sequence or if you write a particularly smart text about it. I mean, that's educational as well. But I think education starts the moment you sit down, the lights go out, and the film starts. That's where education starts,
I would say. And how it impacts you personally and just allow it to get in. Well, it was a great pleasure talking with you and very interesting conversation. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.